And in Colossians, he's called in verse 7 by Paul, a beloved brother, faithful minister, or literally deacon, faithful minister, servant, and a fellow slave, literal translation, in the Lord. So this brother has tremendous qualities, and Paul can commend him. There was another brother from Colossae. He came from Colossae, actually. Epaphras had brought the gospel to Colossae, and Epaphras had gone all the way from there, from Colossae to Paul, to share the great needs that he realized. But here is this brother who is a faithful minister. He's a beloved brother, and he's a fellow slave in the Lord. So what wonderful qualities we find in this brother Tychicus, despite his difficult name. I don't know what the name means, but it must be a beautiful meaning.
And actually, it is interesting, because the different description between Ephesians and Colossians is that last phrase in there, he is a fellow bondman. That is, it's another addition to what he said. He doesn't say about him, in spite of his hard name, so maybe it's easy to say he is a faithful minister in the Lord. Again, in the Lord, he is beloved brother, he's faithful minister in the Lord, and then you go into Colossians, and he is a bond slave. It's really another one. It seems like the declaration of that person has been just keep adding to it. It's not diminishing. As he served with the Apostle Paul, see even more. I think the highest point is that he is a bond slave. You know, that he cannot get more honor than that, to be a bond slave in Christ, a fellow bond slave. He's just like me. And it's really like the Apostle Paul. And that's really a wonderful commendation for a person like that. It is not any high ranking, anything, but it's all a beloved brother, the matter of faithfulness, and a matter of complete subjection to be a bond slave in the Lord.
And a bond servant is really the Lord himself. He's the true bond servant.
Yeah.
So they learn from him.
Yeah. You have to appreciate the differences that you see in these saints. Like, for example, compare him to Apollos, compare him to Lydia. Each of them have these different qualities that all together form what you read in the Epistle to Corinthians, this body, right? Not everybody's a hand and eye. Each have these different qualities. And notice, it seems he's simply a good communicator, which is a very vital quality in not just a local assembly, but certainly in the connectedness between us all. Because he was going to communicate Paul's affairs to them, right? That's in Ephesians. Then in Colossians, he's going to figure out their estate. What are their affairs? So he was able to absorb all this information. And what was the end result? Comfort. This is a good brother.
I think in the scripture he was, to be safe, probably mentioned in four occasions. In Titus, in Timothy, nothing said over there, just I'm sending this dear brother to Ephesus. I join with you, Brother Mark, I can't pronounce it. So I will send this dear brother to Ephesus. But how wonderful to see that the Apostle Paul was an open book. I like to see it this way. He wasn't somebody to hide things from the brethren. He was an open book. And when he was describing about what this brother will report, all our affairs, no exception, all our affairs. And certainly would say that every affair of Paul was known to the brethren. And dear brethren, there are so many things in our life are not known to the brethren. You know why? Because something about it not right. Something about it not right. But the affairs of Paul were known to the brethren. And he will tell you all, and as the brother Kevin mentioned, but also he will encourage you. And certainly this is a brother that can also exhort from the word of God to bring an encouragement. So how wonderful that we can see Paul can bring this individual Lydia, can talk about this brother, can talk about couples, can talk about so many different saints, and yet they all have these characteristics of being faithful.
He's capable of knowing what is needful for prayer and to comfort. You know, sometimes we share information, but unfortunately, it's gossip. You know, but that was not this brother. He did not share information to gossip, but he shared it so that they would be comforted, and likewise, he could communicate to them what Paul was going through. Paul was in prison, and they were concerned for him, and he could communicate.
Yes.
So it's important not only to be a good communicator, but to be careful in what we're communicating, right?
Well, I just want to quote that verse on the morning when it's quoted in the New Testament, that word faithful. It was in relationship, whose then is the faithful and wise servant that giveth the food in its season? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And dear brethren, when these brethren are mentioned in different book, they had a message in season. They had a word in season. It wasn't like just bringing a truth, just throw it in the face of the brethren. They were dependent upon the Lord to know what is needed. And that's a measure of faithfulness as well.
Because the need in Ephesians was different than the need in Colossians. So he was wise to be able to communicate in a way in Ephesians for their need of the saints there. But when he sent them to Colossians, he was trustworthy also to communicate because the situation in both assemblies were different.
It's interesting that in Ephesians, he says in verse 22... that he might comfort your hearts. So the real meaning of that word means that he can call you alongside. So they are brought alongside Paul's condition. And so Paul's situation and the help Paul received will bring then, through this minister of this brother Tychicus, a comfort to the hearts of the believers in Ephesus. It's a wonderful relationship that Paul describes here, and this brother is an instrument to bring that about.
Seems as though it's so important to know the brother who is faithful or the sister who is faithful. Tychicus, Paul sent him. He didn't send another one, but Paul sent him because Paul knew of his character that he was a faithful brother. Brother Bill just mentioned it wasn't just to gossip. He didn't just go and gossip, but he brought the right message so that encouragement can be given. So I think it is important and behooves us to know who is faithful. Yeah. Faithful not to some of the brethren, but faithful to the Lord first, and then they would be faithful to the brethren.
One note that to add in Colossians 4, in the King James, it says, who is a beloved brother. But in the Greek text, it's really the beloved brother. So it's to emphasize who he really is. It is the brother par excellence. This is really an example for the others.
Yeah. And also the difference between Ephesians and Colossians, you mentioned that in Ephesians, he highlights that he will tell you all our affairs, our state, and he will encourage your hearts. But in Colossians, he doesn't say about his affairs. He says in verse 8, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that he might know your state. So in Colossians, it was the state that the brethren were in, that the Lord was going to use him in wisdom to encourage their hearts. In Ephesians, he was bringing to make it known of all the affairs of the Apostle Paul and encourage their hearts. So in both ways, dear brethren, in whatever state, whether the state of the brethren or our own state, we need a word of encouragement.
So in the end of verse 7, don't we get the thought that he was, this is Colossians, right? That he was making known to them Paul's state as well?
No, it says concerns though, and concerns would be, as I think John is adding, whom I have sent to you for this purpose that you might know your state. His concern was to know their state.
Because the situation in Colossians was really a dire situation. Yeah. They were departing into a pathway of philosophy and vain teaching and Gnosticism and everything, and he was concerned about them.
There are other texts that would say that ye, Colossians, made know our state. And it's not a contradiction, because they would need to know Paul's condition, that he was faithful there even in prison, and they needed to learn from that faithfulness so that they would be faithful.
And in Colossians, he's not sending him alone. He's sending Onesimus with him.
Yes.
Yeah, so again, because the situation there in Ephesians, I think he was just going alone. In there, he's sending him. But in Colossians, because again, there was a difficulty in there. He needed somebody else with him. You know, every word should be established on the mouth of two or three witnesses. So he's sending with him Onesimus.
And that's why Onesimus is called in verse 9, the faithful. Also, is the definite article. It's interesting. In the King James, you see A, but in the Greek text, it's D. So both are faithful to represent Paul.
We want to get to the Second Timothy text. So the last person is Epaphras, and we'll just make one quick comment, and then we'll move on to Second Timothy to talk about what are the things that help generate or help create the desire to be more faithful as Paul instructs Timothy. When we come to Epaphras in Colossians 1 and Colossians 4, we find he was a faithful servant, and the distinguishing characteristic mentioned in Colossians 4, he prayed.
He's a prayer warrior, not just a praying man.
Yeah. Combative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Again, faithfulness is stepping up in whatever the circumstances is, holding fast to what has been deposited. And here, Epaphras was one who took that up in the matter of praying. And that serves as a great instruction for ourselves, that faithfulness is also our engagement in seeking God's mind and God's will in all things.